Blog Talk Radio.
Sinners get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is doing
what you're gonna do.
What you gonna do?
You better get your heart in order.
What you gonna do?
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 Zion. I am so delighted to be able to come into your workspace, come into your living room area, and then right on down the dangerous highway and byway with the old Ship of Zion on your radio dial. I just thank God for all of you, my just superb listening audience, your faithful, committed group of godly people, and you that may not know God. You is not excluded, but you are included. So it's you that know God and you that may not know God. Now is a good time to get to know him, and I will introduce you to Jesus on tonight. Hallelujah. And I just hope and pray that all is well and in your family circle on today and tonight. I hope and pray that all continually to be well with you and yours. And I want to take out a time spot here to acknowledge all of you that might have experienced the loss of a loved one on last evening, on as early as this morning, this afternoon, moments ago, hour ago. Our prayers and condolences goes out to you, you and you. And may God just lift you and hold you with his right hand. God impart in you, hallelujah, the love and kindness that you already have known. And may God restore restoration and peace unto your soul. And so we just are going to thank God right now in advance that he will just heal what's broken inside of you. Only God knows. So our prayers and our prayer petitions goes out to you and you and you that are listening on tonight. I just thank God for all of you, my just faithful, like I first stated, faithful and committed saints and friends and you alike. I just thank God for you, you and you. And hallelujah. I will now go into our opening prayer. We have an opening prayer where we introduce a prayer that, you know, encourage, and hopefully that is encouraging words, and to let you know that we know that God still sit high and he still sits on the throne, but yet he's looking low. He's looking low up on this earth, the face of this earth. You know that you are not your own. Do you know that with a price? That you know that you're a king kid. I want to let you know tonight that if you didn't know, now you know. That you are a king kid. And you that are not a king kid as of right now, hopefully before the ending of this program, you will become a king's kid. Daughters and sons of and son. Daughters and sons of God. Daughters of God and sons of God. I hope and pray that by the end of this, you would have had an introduction to Jesus. Because that's why I'm here, to introduce to you, hallelujah, and to present to others, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So that's who we're going to acknowledge on tonight in our opening prayer. Is Jesus Christ, hallelujah, of Nazareth, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and we know that he is our soon coming Messiah. That's who we're going to go down in prayer and give recognition to on tonight. So I'm just asking those of you to bow your beautiful heads as we go down and acknowledge the one and the only, my Lord and your Lord, King Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you, Lord. We come, God. Thank you, Father God. We'll come and we're lifting up holy hands, God. But we know that this earthly planet is not our eternal home, God. But we know that you have lying in wait a mansion that's not built by the hand of man. But you are its architect. And you are his creator, God. And until you crack those clouds one of these historical days, we'll be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land, Father God. And Father God, we also know, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We also know, Lord, hallelujah, that you love each and every one of us across the spectrum. You don't pay patronism to anyone. But you love all of your children in the same volume. Hallelujah. And so like I first stated, God, until you crack those clouds one historical day, we'll be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land. And Father God, I'm asking you on tonight to anoint, hallelujah, these lips of clay, to bring a rhema word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. I'm asking you, Father God, to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within the pit of their souls. These and other blessings, Father God, we ask in your Son Jesus' mighty, marvelous name, and we will allow the church to say amen and amen. Hallelujah. I will be with you 45 minutes on the clock. And we already know that time is yet ticking right along. We know that time doesn't wait on anyone. So we're going to go right now into your program. May God bless all of you that are out there in my digital live listening audience on tonight. This is a live broadcast. And I'm asking those of you that have a testimony that you want to share, you're welcome to call in at this time. If you have any prayer petitions, we will welcome those at the conclusion of our program. And like I first stated, may God richly bless you. I'm going to give you those numbers on the monitor. The guest call-in numbers are 646-200-3074, 877-598-8654. I'll give you those numbers again. The guest call-in number is 646-200-3074, 877-598-8654. And so you're welcome to call in if you have a testimony. If not, we're going to go right on in to our scheduled program at this time. And our sermon on tonight, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Our sermon on tonight is God's principle, not an option. And you might ask, Overseer Ward, where did you come with that sermon on tonight? Everything that I bring across these airways are ordained by God himself. And so, if you have any comments that you have, when I finish, then I would encourage you to go down in prayer and seek God for guidance. I'm all implementing God's word. So I just would suggest you to go down in prayer and pray to God about anything that you have to relate to God concerning coming on tonight. And so, you know, I was listening on the radio, you know, because it's a way to deliver anything. And God wants us to deliver his word in love. And that's what I always want to convey, is a loving spirit. because I can't send anybody to hell or heaven. It's the life that you choose to determine your destination. So, like I first stated, I was listening at the news on last evening. One gentleman was saying that a clergyman had a funeral that he was, a service that he was engaged in, but he found that, I guess, the deceased person that was to be eulogized, I guess, had a, gay lifestyle. And so the clergyman canceled the funeral service. Now you might ask, was he wrong in doing that? I would say yes/no. One reason I would say yes is because of the night sermon, and it is God principles is not an option. So if you don't like anything that is going on around you, and even though it's against God principles, the clergyman has a duty unto God to stand on those principles. He has a right to deny anyone that he feels that's not in line with what he's teaching. Now, there are some that, you know, will have that. That's your business. You can do that. Was the man wrong in declining the funeral service on short notice? Yes, he was. He was definitely out of line there, because you don't wait right up to a funeral service and deny the person funeral services. That's not right. That's not right. And I don't think God would think highly of that person for that. But like I first stated, no one should be made to do, just like you don't want to be made to live a straight lifestyle, and that is God's principles. No clergyman should be made to honor such lifestyle if he chose not to do so. That should be his or her, should be their desire to accept or decline that. And that should not be made. Just like, you know, the laws of the land. We know that there are groups of laws that we must abide by. If not, then we're going to suffer the consequences. Well, God has a set of laws as well that we are to abide by, whether we like it, whether it fits into our lifestyle, whether it cramps our lifestyle or not. Because when we took an oath, when we took an oath to deliver God's word, God is depending on us to deliver his word as he said, deliver it. So just like God don't take sides, we shouldn't take sides either. Either we are in God all the way, or we are in God half of the way. Because you cannot serve God with a lemon-lime twist. You got to serve God. God said, those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. So like I said, the clergyman was wrong in his decision to denounce those services at such a short notice. So, I'm talking about tonight. God's principle is not an option. I have to live holy whether I want to or not, but I chose to do so. See, God give us an option. He don't make you do anything. God don't make me live this lifestyle. I choose to live this lifestyle on my own recognizance. See, so that's what's so sweet about God. God don't just, you know, put anything, try to chug anything down our throat. But God give us a choice. He said, choose ye this day who you're going to serve. You're going to either serve the satanic force, or you're going to serve the spiritual force, and that's the omnipotent spiritual force of God. And so I want to go into our first key scripture on tonight, and it reads this. It says that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the ruler of the darkness of this age. That scripture reading is found in Ephesians 6 and 12. All right, we're going to go quickly to our second key scripture. And it reads this. It says that you are chosen. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. That's found in the law of 1 Peter 2 and 9. Now, these laws and covenant that God has outlined for you and I is not something that man put into place, but that is God's doing. And so I'm going to read right quickly because I know my time is yet moving right along. All right, now we find out, thank you, Jesus, that Peter challenged us to think of ourselves as living stones. To be a living stone, hallelujah, is an oxymoron. To deliberate contradiction in turn. Grouped together for emphasis, stones are, we know, is non-living. Hallelujah. We know that they are non-living matter, merely compressed earth. If the material of stone is not living, how then can we be living stones? We know that God's plan is that those who are called Christians would become God's living stone. And for this means that the nature of Jesus Christ would be so firmly embedded within us that we would walk holy and live separated unto God. The word of God would be so carved upon our hearts that we would not allow the lust of the flesh to divert us from living by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is God's will that as living stones, every module of our being would be dead to sin and alive in the Holy Spirit. If we allow it, God will take the impure and useless matters out of our lives and mold us into stones, which then become markers, hallelujah, for the world. Just as an Israelite left stones in the midst of the Jordan River as a sign of their crossing into the promised land, we as living stones will leave markers of faith and works to indicate that Jesus, hallelujah, is alive and moving in and through us. It is God's desire that our faith be so vibrant, sinless, and pure that the world would look at God living stone and say, I want the same joy, I want the same peace, I want the same love, I want the same salvation that is resident in God's living stone. We know that the vibrancy of our lives should tell the drug user that there's a better high in Jesus. The vibrancy of our lives let the hopeless know that there is hope. The vibrancy of our lives let the sick know that there is healing and the weary know that there is rest. Hallelujah. We know that stones are used for building because they are strong and durable. So may you and I let God finish his perfect work in us. May we submit ourselves to Jesus Christ as we walk in obedience and become God's living stone. To be built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And those scripture readings are found in the law of 1 Peter 2 and 5. Hallelujah. All right, we're moving along because we know that time is of an essence. Hallelujah. All right. Now we know that our scripture reading tonight is called God's Principle is not an option. So I just read to you the second key scripture, and I'm going to read it once again. It says that you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Now, this is God's talking. This is God's voice in 1 Peter 2 and 9. Now, we know that the Declaration of Independence, we know that. In the United States, it speaks of all people being created equal. And that we are endowed with certain inalienable rights. We know that the Constitution guarantees that the government will protect those rights for all its citizens. We know that these two documents clearly reveal that the nation's freedom depends largely on a strong Constitution. And the Bible is a more far-reaching Bill of Rights than either of these documents. It originated with God, who backs it with his justice, his concern for all people, and his sovereignty, and it is the only charter that guarantees freedom from sin's penalty and power. We met a man went to a clergyman on an occasion to get some advice about religion, virtue, and the freedom it brings. The man asked, "What must I do to obtain holiness?" he asked. And the pastor replied, "Follow your heart." Then he added, "To follow your heart, you are going to need a strong constitution." "Which constitution?" asked the man. "The Bible," said the pastor. And we find that in Peter, when he told the Christians, as a holy nation, we are to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's found in the law of 1 Peter 2 and 9. There we'll find true freedom. When we live by our constitutions, we will be able to enjoy our right and fulfill our calling. We know that God's childless words will change our lives, but we must do our part. When we live out its principles, we'll keep it in our heart. We know that the best constitution in this world is the Bible. So we know that we got to keep with God's principles. It is not an option. It is a commandment. We are to initiate the principles of God. And so I will go right back to the first key scripture. And it reads like this. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers of this darkness of this age. So you might ask, Overseer Ward, what is the darkness of this age? The darkness of this age is Satan with his angels. He have angels. The devil have angels as well as God. God has angels. Jesus Christ has angels. So, Satan, Lucifer, he has angels as well. And he has angels of this dark age. And age means in which we live right now. Okay, so now, like I said, we're going right on back to our theme on tonight. It's God's principle is not an option. So we know that God's will do nothing except us in prayer. We know that that might be an overstatement, but we know that the fact is that our praying is a powerful weapon in warfare, and that's what we are in today. We're in a warfare, wrestling against principality of the dark age. So the Word of God tell us that prayer and praying is a powerful weapon in the war between God and Satan. And that's what we're in the midst of in our today's world. Scripture reading, Daniel was so disturbed by a revelation about Israel's future that he couldn't do nothing except fast and pray. And he fasted and prayed for 3 weeks. And after that, we're told that the heavenly messenger appeared, saying that God had sent him when Daniel prayed, but that the prince of Persia had detained him. That's in 10 and 13. And we know that this prince was an evil spirit who sought out to influence the ruler of Persia to oppose God's plan. And that's what is happening in the world today, is that the angel of darkness is wrestling with principality against God's plan. And not only God's plan, but God's clergymen. That's what's happening, is they're fighting in war against God's word. And so, like I said, that he had detained God's messenger until the archangel Michael came to his aid. We know that the cosmic conflict between good and evil is continually being fought in this invisible spirited world. The exact same thing that I just said. Paul reminded us that it involved Christians. He listed the spiritual armor and weaponry we need for these battles. And that is found in the scripture reading of Ephesians 6 and 13 through 17. And then we added praying always in verse 18. And our prayers can have a significant impact on the outcome of those spiritual battles. Because as long as we are on planet Earth, we're going to go through trials and tribulations. We're going to go through warfare. We're going to go through weaponry of the dark ages. But if we continue to pray, prayer is the key. So God said, may we therefore faithfully pray as we fight the good fight. That's found in 1 Timothy 1 and 18. Hallelujah. So we know that prayer of evil loses their sway. We gain strength and fear gives way, therefore, let us pray. Satan trembles when he sees the wicked saint upon his or her knees. Hallelujah, Jesus. And so we're going to keep right on moving. Jesus said that if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. That scripture reading is found in the love of John 15 and 18. So, if there's one thing believers in Jesus should be known for, and it is love. The word love appears in the scripture more than 500 times. We know that the essence of the gospel is love. As we see in John 3 and 16, for God so loved the world. We know that the epistle of 1 John 3 and 16 elaborates, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, you and I. We know that Christians are to serve one another in love. That scripture reading is found in the love of Galatians 5 and 13. Love their neighbor as themselves. Live a life of love, Ephesians 5 and 2. And love with action and not in truth. And in truth, I'm sorry. That's found in the love of John 1. 1 John 3 and 18. So if Jesus and his followers are all about love, why do some people love to hate us? Why are there, according to one estimate, 200 million persecuted believers in this world today? Jesus told us why. He said to his disciples, everyone practicing evil hate the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. That scripture reading is found in the law of John 3:20. Jesus, we know that Jesus is the light. When he walks this earth, people hated him because he exposed the darkness of their sin. We are now his light in this world. That's found in the law of Matthew 5:14. Therefore, the world will also hate us. That scripture reading is found in the law of John 15:19. So our task is to be children of God's love and of God's light, even if we are hated in return. We know that some will hate you, some will love you, some will flatter, some will slight. Cease from man and look above you. Trust in God and do what's right. Love in return, for love is natural. But love in return for hate, we know is supernatural. Hallelujah. So we are to carry out God's principle. Even if mother don't like it, even if father don't like it, even if children don't like it, we are to carry out the principles of God. Like you have stood on your oath and you raise your right hand to carry out God's law, just like he left over 2,000 light years ago. His word was good then, and it's the same principles that we live by right now. In this 21st century, it was good in Noah's day. It was good in Elijah's day. It was good in Daniel's day. It is good in today's world as well. So tonight's scripture sermon was on tonight. God's principles is not an option. So if you want to live any other way, you're living against the prince. You're living against what God's word says. And that's not being opinionated, but that's God's living divine doctrine. That is God's living divine doctrine. I didn't make this up, but you've seen me read off the key scriptures. You can find them and read them for yourself. You cannot argue with the word of God. You may not like it, but guess what? It still does not make it not in effect, in of an effect, because God's word will stand. He said that his word will stand. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his word will stand. God said before the end of this earth that it will not be one stone upon another. His word will go out the earth, so there will be not one excuse. When you stand before that judgment seat of God, well, God, I didn't have a Bible. God, it wasn't a church near me. God, I didn't have an automobile to go to church. God, I didn't have a radio where I could listen to someone telling about your word and about your way. There will be no excuses in that day. So you have the word of God coming at you in all forms and fashions. You have digital format. You have the Bible itself. You have audio. You have video. So there will be no excuses in that day. So I would just suggest to you today to get your heart right with God. Whatever God is not pleased with in your life, get it right. Get your heart right with God. Whatever is not right in your life, I would encourage you to get it together. Get it right with God before it's too late. You know, God is calling cue cards all day, every day. Somebody's leaving this earth. So I wouldn't let it be said too late upon your life. You know what God's word teaches. And if you want to live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, you got to live with both feet in. Not one feet straddling the fence, but both feet have to be in. In order to be living divinely by the word of God. Hallelujah. And so before ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to marinate your spirit and impact your mind as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. And if this program has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions, you would want the old ship of Zion to go down in prayer on your behalf. You're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence to God House of Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the old ship of Zion. Send your correspondence. Make them attentive to Overseer Janice Ward, P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Till we meet again across these skyways and highways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. And I will bring you some spiritual entertainment for your enjoyment. Hallelujah. So I would just encourage you to listen up and be blessed. Hallelujah.
Thank you.